Well, ufologist Stanton Friedman talks a lot about the Zeta Reticuli. That's an area way out there where perhaps aliens may reside. Well, our guest in just a moment is Nancy Leader. Nancy claims that she channels the Zetas channel through her. She was our guest several years ago and is back on Coast to Coast AM. Nancy Leader is a computer professional who left the West Coast in 1999 and moved on to the Midwest. She claims to be an enhanced contactee who can speak telepathically with aliens from Zeta Reticuli. Nancy says the Zetas have revealed to her information about life on other worlds, the ET origins of the human species, the Zeta human hybrid breeding program, its reasons and methods, political science of the cosmos, who is who, the rules of engagement, protocols, and the Council of Worlds, time travel, and the nature of alien visitation and human recall of the events, contact techniques, the origin of the pyramids and the Sphinx, the Nibirans, and the 12th planet, also known as Planet X. We remember that, and its imminent return, and much more, she says. She's our guest on Coast to Coast. Nancy, welcome back.
How are you? I'm so thrilled.
Hey, I've been getting a lot of emails from people who said, you bounced her a couple of years ago. Why are you bringing back? I never bounced you. You never went off the air that way. You just, Planet X didn't come, and we felt, well, there's no need to have her on right now.
Yeah, well, I kind of felt bounced myself, you know. I was on about four times in 2003, and actually my web hits are quadruple now what they were in 2003, three to four times as high anyway. And so my popularity and fame has kept pace and gone up, and I haven't been on Coast to Coast. So maybe that's where that perception comes from.
Well, that could be. That could be. Of course, I remember the great debate with astronomer Philip Plate. That was fun. That was a good evening. Remember that?
Oh, I sure do. And I remember that he claimed that mammoths frozen in the polar circle with green grass in their stomachs was an urban myth.
That was true. No, that's a true story. There was a mammoth found with that frozen. Let's review just a little bit, Nancy. We've got a lot of new things to talk with you about tonight, especially some Earth changes. And, of course, we're going to try to see if the Zetas can channel through you again when we get to the phone call stage here. Let's go back. Let's review Planet X. It was supposed to show up around May of 2003. Then it was going to be pushed back. Did you never showed up? I want to get your review of that whole situation.
Yeah, actually it showed up. It just didn't pass over our head. It has a sling orbit. It actually goes past two different suns. Our sun is a binary, but our binary is a dark, unlit sun. So therefore, we really can't see it. According to the Zetas, it's 18.74 sun-Pluto distances out into space in the direction of Orion. And when everything coalesced coming out of the Big Bang, this planet did not go round and round one sun. It started slinging past, and then both gravity forces were behind it, so it slung back again. Whoops, now both gravity. So like a pendulum, back and forth, past these two suns, and it slings to our through our solar system every 3,657 years, very close to Zechariah Sitchin's ancient Sumerian interpretations, 3,600, the Shahr. Well, the last time it came through was the Jewish Exodus period, when there was all this red blood in the rivers, and we did, in fact, have a shift in our axis, according to Potsdam University in Germany at that time. So we're due. Well, There's nothing in human astrophysics that explains this sling orbit, and that's not because our astrophysics are dumb. It's because we're relatively naive and inexperienced. But it when it comes through, it dives straight for the sun. But there's a gravity repulsion force, which is, according to the Zetas, why the moon stays up there. It's way too heavy and moving too slowly not to be dropping to Earth. It's not centrifugal force that keeps our moon up there.
A couple weeks ago, astronomers pointed out a couple more planets that they believe indeed are in the solar system. And we sat down with our producers, and I said, you know what? We better get Nancy Leader back on, because now there's starting to find things that they didn't find before in our solar system, when these astronomers probably would have sworn up and down, there's nothing else out there, this is it. So I'm beginning to wonder now, Nancy, what the heck might be out there that we just haven't found yet.
Yeah, actually, the reason this is a stealth planet, and if you look in ancient documents like the Colbran, it states that when it does make its passage and roar over our head, causing a pole shift because it's a huge magnet, much bigger than we, it comes from the sun, from the direction of the sun, and hides the face of the sun as it makes its passage. This is because it's shrouded by such a dust cloud, huge red dust, iron oxide dust, that it's like a fuzzball in a fog bank. That's what we're looking at right now. When it was coming in 2003, it was behind the sun to us, and light reflected off that fuzzball and bounced back to us, and that was the season of the second sun, when many people saw two suns rising and setting during the summer of 2003. It's now so close to the sun that when we look at the sun, we see a fuzzball with light reflected back to the sun, but it's the reason for all the earthquakes, the weather anomalies, the increasing volcanism, the melting from the bottom up of the earth of the permafrost and the glaciers and the like. It's because of Planet X.
When do you think some of these mainstream astronomers will start believing the way you believe?
Well, they know about it. I hear from some of them. But they're under such a squelch. And actually, one of them reported to me that a friend of his was killed. They went out drinking, and the guy was wringing his hand and saying, you know, I think people really need to know. He said he never made it back. His friend never made it back home from the bar.
What happened? Tell me about this.
He died. I can't give you names. This is from an astronomer. He said we're watched so closely. I have a friend of mine who was having qualms of conscience and saying, we really need to tell the public. And they were drinking at a bar, and he was vocal about it, and he never made it home from the bar. So they know that they're not supposed to talk about this. They're told they're not supposed to talk about
this. Did they ever find the guy, his body, anything?
Oh, sure. It was one of those little accidents on the road. So look at it this way. Cover-ups can be maintained. For 40 years, Hoover maintained that he was against gays, and then it turns out that whole time he was dancing around in a pink tutu. And then we have the JFK murder. It's a single bullet, went through all those bodies and chipped all those bones and came out intact. That's the official explanation, single bullet done by Oswald. I could go on and on, but conspiracies can be kept, and astronomers work at universities and observatories that are funded, and if they get access to large observatory scopes, they have to take a national security oath agreement because they're seeing UFOs. They're seeing those motherships all the time, and do we hear about this in the media? Do they come forward and say, oh, look, I saw a mothership again, I got an image of it? No, because they're under a national security oath not to cause panic. The alien presence is one of those panic things. Planet X is an even bigger panic button.
Nancy, it's been 2 years, and in the 2 years, the audience has grown and changed. Different people, lots of new people who don't know who Nancy Leader is. Tell me a little bit beyond just the bio of your introduction about the Zetas, what happened to you, how this all started.
Yeah, be happy to. Actually, I was brain dead about my contactee status, at least on a conscious level, until I was 55. Well, I'm now 62, 63. But I was a contactee all my life, and in fact, probably had a pre-birth agreement to be in a communicator role. This is because reincarnation exists. We all have hundreds, if not thousands, of lifetimes on Earth where, you know, our souls were born before we get off the earth and go to bigger and better things. So for my life to proceed in a normal manner, and I was a professional, I was a second level manager, project management level, developed huge systems, you know, et cetera, and nothing to be ashamed of in my career, raised a family. Around 55 years of age, one of my family members came forward and said, you know, contactees run in family lines, and I kind of think we're one of them. Listen to this tape, what Bill Cooper has to say. And I was adamantly opposed. Such was my programming, you know, to be a time release kind of person. I said, oh, it can't be. The secrets like that can't be kept. And I had 100 reasons why Bill Cooper had to be wrong. Well, now I think Bill Cooper was more right than wrong. But I started to do meditation and recall, self-hypnosis, and out came the story. And out came the explanation. And little scars, like at the back of my elbow where you'd never think. During hypnosis, the first flesh sample they took from me was a little nip behind my elbow. I said, well, I don't have a scar there. Backed up to the mirror, and there was my scar. Now, the most remarkable thing is I have this huge scar, a third-degree burn in the middle of my forehead where they call the third eye. And this happened to me when I was about 12. It was a result of supposedly a diathermy pad burn, but the diathermy pad was not malfunctioning. It didn't burn my eyebrows. It didn't burn the bridge of my nose. Just that spot, third eye.
Yeah, and how could it do just that spot?
Because under hypnosis, and another family member of mine also has a scar in the center of his forehead, and under hypnosis, they were taking little metal balls out, you know, to enhance the telepathic or thinking communication link. It's like brain growth and stimulus. And I can only conclude that I had little metal balls, and they didn't get a chance to take them out before that diathermy pad was put on there. So that's why I wear bangs. I have this dramatic scar. So I learned that I was a contactee. The whole truth came out. I remembered receiving a vision on the earth changes that were going to happen, you know, where the new poles would be, how the melt would raise the sea level along the coastlines, Indonesia disappear, Europe become a series of islands, Amazon basin, Siberia goes, northern Canada goes, Mississippi Valley, big inland bay, etc., and how hot and dry it would be going into that red dust, red glow on over everything. So one of the first things that came out in Zeta Talk was the pole shift, and they've been hammering on this ever since. They don't like cover-ups. They feel people should be empowered with the truth, and that's where my life changed.
Nancy, the channeling, does it happen at will, or can you control it?
It's a very much an at-will thing. It's not actually channeling, and people are forever confused about this. I think I'm unique in doing a telepathic conversation. I actually had a surgery where this happened in my 20s, where they infused a little bit of their DNA into the region of my brain that deals with telepathy. And at that time, I wasn't aware I was a contactee, but I was aware that I was suddenly more telepathic. I could know who was dialing the phone. I'd pick up the phone and say, hi, so-and-so, that type of thing. So it's a telepathic conversation, and I'm a participant. They assemble usually a team of people that talk to me. You can ask the Zetas questions at any time, and I front and end it by saying this is the start of Zeta Talk, end of Zeta Talk, so you know when it returns to blithery, blathery old Nancy Talk.
Does Nancy Leader have opinions about Earth changes and Planet X, or is this primarily the Zetas talking through you?
It's both. When I was in the 1980s, when Planet X, early 1980s, was in the news, this was before a real big cover-up dropped, when they were searching for it, NASA and JPL up above the atmosphere in an infrared balloon, I remember hearing about it on the news, the TV, and getting a real horrible sinking feeling of fear. So there was something inside of me that was aware of it at that time. Now, what I've done as a person is document the Earth changes very carefully, you know, orbit irregularities, the photos that people are able to get with welder's lens and the like that filter out the glare of the sun so you can see what's around the sun, SOHO images where they trip up and give you some clue that, you know, that there is something close to the sun, documented this extensively. One of the big things has been what I call face and dark side global shuttering. Since March of 2003, when Planet X was zooming up to snug up close to the sun, we started getting this where all the live seismographs, dozens of them, the USGS gives us regularly online, would shutter and show this black, you know, simultaneously all over the globe. And it was when the Atlantic Rift would either face the sun and Planet X or be in opposition. Magnets like to line up. And Planet X was saying to the Earth, stick with me. It's because the Atlantic Rift in and of itself is a big surface magnet and of hardened lava recently ripped apart. There's no other explanation, George, for that global shuttering at the face and dark, nor has any kind of a cover-up explanation ever been tried to be put out. You ask about why that 10th planet thing came up. I'll tell you why. I've recently, the last couple of weeks, been on a new blog radio show twice a week. We started last week and this week, and got invited on to Coast to Coast. And when they know that Planet X is going to be widely in the news or widely in the media, they have to, like, distract people. So they name some hunk of rock 10th planet. I'm surprised they didn't name it Planet X. And it's not a new discovery. This was a 2003 discovery. I think I even remember discussion of it at that time. You remember Sedna came out?
Yes.
Right. So, Ian, they're just trying to distract people. That's why it got in the news.
I've found with people who are psychic, if they didn't talk specifically about dates, their accuracy could go way up.
Yeah.
My daughter, for example, I think is extremely intuitive and psychic. She has these strange dreams, and about 85% of them come true. She called me about 3 weeks ago, Nancy, and I'm not going to say who, but she said, "Dad, I just dreamed that so-and-so died." She was very, very upset. And she was pretty accurate a year ago with a similar type dream. And I said, "Look, you know, don't worry about it." Of course, between you and me, I was pretty concerned because of her accuracy and how good she was. Well, she calls me this morning, and she came pretty darn close. It happened to be the sister of the person she thought had died in her dream. And so I'm saying to myself, maybe she shouldn't mention names, just events. But that's pretty uncanny, don't you think? To get that close dream of someone dying, and then it ends up being that person's sister?
Exactly. Psychic ability is often related to telepathic ability. Many people are telepathically connected to those they love in particular. About 10% of humanity has enough telepathic ability that there's some remarkable event where they just knew, for instance. And animals have a lot of the dog in the courtyard when his master dies starts howling just at the moment that the heartbeat stops. You know, they know. So, and it's been documented in many studies. Duke University had many studies on telepathic ability. Yeah, if you're vague all the time, it's better. You know, I have a lot of respect for Sylvia Brown because she gets out there on your show and on TV and the like and speaks directly about people's personal situations. And you can see by their face, I watch the Montel show, you can see that she's hitting a very, very high accuracy rate. Nobody's perfect. And the reason for that is humans. We're the vehicle. I'm sure I screw up Zeta Talk sometimes. I'm sure I do. But Zeta Talk accuracy is really based, and the reason there's a fan club around the world, very international, is because they've come out with statements in 1995, very early in the Zeta Talk saga, and like with weather predictions, for instance, that have nobody else was making these predictions. And it came about that our weather today is exactly unfolding like they said it would in 1995.
These Zetas, is it possible, though, that they are passing on misinformation through you for whatever motives they may have?
Well, I get that a lot. You know, you're speaking to demons, and how do you know? And my statement to that is, how do I know George Norrie's a good guy, for instance? You know, I'm using your track record. I'm saying, what kind of information are you fostering? How are you empowering people? You know, what's your track record? And I'm using the same criteria for them. Their track record is that they are informing people of coming Earth changes to a remarkable degree. Their accuracy is right on target.
Well, let's talk with them when we come back, Nancy. Get ready for that. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Well, let's move this along. Perfect Possession. It's a CD. It's an interview with Father Malachi Martin. It's kind of scary. You get it free with an After Dark newsletter subscription by calling 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we shall channel Nancy Leaders, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Nancy, I've always been a believer and admirer of the late prophet Edgar Cayce, who has had startling readings about Earth changes and events on this planet. And he, too, believes that this entire planet is going to undergo some very big Earth changes. Even the United States, he believes the coasts will be way inland. Let's talk with the Zetas. I mean, how do I get them to speak through you?
Actually, just ask a question, and I'll say, giving it to the Zetas, I'll talk, then I'll say, and this is the end of Zeta Talk, and it's as simple as that.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, let's stay with Zeta Talk until I just simply ask for you to return. Is that okay?
Okay.
Of course, Edgar Cayce, his prophecies of what will happen to the United States, for example. He believes eventually the coastlines will be inland dramatically. I think close to Denver, as a matter of fact. What do the Zetas see? You know, if they are on another planet and they have the ability to see into the future, what do they see for the coastal regions of the United States? What does it look like and at what time period?
Here's Zeta Talk. We are not on planets in Zeta Reticuli. We are, in fact, in your vicinity, having arrived at the beginning of our lifetimes, almost, serving, as Nancy likes to call it, in the Peace Corps. And our knowledge of what the future Earth will look like and how the pole shift will affect the Earth is based on projection intelligent guesstimates. You, after all, project when the sun will rise down to the minute and the like, and how long it will take a pot of water to boil. And we are more accurate, being much more highly intelligent and in charge of many more facts that you are not. So when we describe the future Earth geology, we are speaking not only from our estimate of what will happen, but in fact from documentation taken by Zetas in the past on prior pole shifts by the dozens. We were around our species on Earth during the flood, during the Jewish Exodus, etc., and we know that our projections are not inaccurate. Edgar Cayce was doing the best he could, as do many other prophets, in describing the future geology, such as Scallion, another accurate and true prophet and psychic. And the differences between our projection on the North American continent and Cayce's is the timing. When the passage occurs, Planet X at first grips the Earth with this magnet along the Atlantic Rift, which we have so carefully detailed, and which is showing up in 12-hour interval shutters on the USGS live seismographs, and has been doing for the last 2 years, is evidence that this Atlantic Rift is gripped. And when this happens, the Earth stops rotating. This is part of legend. People don't fly off into space or anything weird like that. Legend reports the long day in Egypt and the long night on the west coast of the Americas, all very logical. And along the lines of what we are stating does happen and will happen. So during that time, water flows to the poles. Now we have the pole shift, which happens within an hour. The South Pole tips up to be facing the sun, and the North Pole tips away entirely, a 90-degree switch. Now water is sloshing because water has a life of its own. It doesn't necessarily move with the globe. I like to use, and Nancy frequently uses, the bowl of soup analogy. Hold it, move it quickly, and you've got soup on your shoe. It doesn't necessarily go with the bowl. So this happens to the oceans, and they slosh up on the shorelines and then back to the center of the bowl and slosh up on the other side with momentum until finally it settles down. A lot of grounding on coastlines for those not getting our message or some similar message, and knowing where to go and when to go. So what Edgar Casey was reporting was often that week of rotation stoppage, where the water flows to the poles and away from where the equator is. Well, there you are, more beach area freed, more of the Caribbean islands revealed, the new land he was talking about. And when the pole shift happens and there's a sudden compression of the Pacific and ripping apart of the Atlantic, then water sloshes in from the Pacific onto the western coastline of the United States. And we have stated it will roar over the coastal islands into the inland areas, the San Joaquin Valley and the like, and sit there for weeks until it finally drains, and will also roll inland across the Texas flatlands, even though this is above the elevation that would be expected, because flatlands offer no resistance to a rolling body of water, and it will go all the way into West Texas, in other words, lapping at the foothills of the Rockies, Denver. So, in fact, our projections and Casey's lineup, they're just talking about different time frames. And George, this is the end of Zeta Talk, so you can talk.
Okay, now, Zeta's, will people be given an opportunity to flee beyond just announcements? As you've just stated, I mean, will they have time, let's say, as this occurs? Is this going to be done over years or over months, over weeks, or over days when this happens?
Zeta Talk here. We have stated that no one will be surprised. Nancy has recently done an analysis of the Colbrin, which documents during the flood and during the Jewish Exodus what humans actually experienced. There is a period where 3 days of darkness, because the North Pole is tipped away. This is before rotation of the Earth even stops. In Islamic text, they call this 6 days of sunrise west, following that 3 days of darkness, and legend reports that there is a period of darkness when the sun is only seen as a glow across the horizon. Then there is a slowing of rotation to a stop. This takes some days. Then there's, according to our analysis, 5.9 days when rotation will be completely stopped, and it's clear to them, by then certainly to people, that this is happening. And then the pole shift takes place within an hour preceding that, because that's like a 2 to 3 week period of horrible changes, anomalies. Obvious that something is wrong, but of course the Earth is going to be under such distress that people will be going crazy with fear and anxiety. The roadways will be clogged with cars that have run out of gas and just been left, bridges will be ripped, trains will be derailing, and planes, the atmosphere will be so windy and irregular that planes will be a very risky business. So we suggest to people that they travel before that time. Well, how are they going to know? The signs are going to be so numerous and build up with such a momentum that those people who wish to survive and go into survival communities or just get into the hinterlands, up into the hills, into the rural countries, whether or not they've purchased a farm or whether or not they've made arrangements at some mountain cabin, you know, to arrive there, they'll be there already, because the writing on the wall will be so obvious. You're going to have earthquake increases. The volcanoes already are ticking up, and the earthquake increases are already with you. But also you're going to have the weather just continuing to get extreme, not violent hurricanes more than your Category 5, but happening more often, tornadoes happening more often, and in places not expecting hurricanes or tornadoes, deluges and droughts, you're already getting this. It's going to be so extreme, with no explanation coming from the government, except perhaps leaks as to what might be coming, that people will say, need to get to a better place where I can have a garden, where tsunamis along the coastlines aren't a factor, storms along the coastlines. And we have stated that the storms will get so numerous along the coastlines that coastlines may become uninhabitable. People go in there to harvest crops, but don't sleep there, don't live there, because it's so unpredictable as far as storms and waves coming in, as tsunamis or just high tides. So people will have a lot of clues that this is around the corner. And certainly, 3 days of darkness, anybody who's not seeing the writing on the wall, 3 days of darkness in the Northern Hemisphere, is certainly not paying attention. End of Zeta Talk for now, George.
Zeta's several geologists are saying that the New Madrid Fault, which is an earthquake fault along the Mississippi, is getting very close to rumbling. They're beginning to have many Richter scale earthquakes there of fours. They find this to be very unusual. How does this region look in the future?
Here's Zeta Talk. We agree with your geologist. We, in May of 2004, stated with great detail what we call the torque effect. In fact, Nancy has provided a graphic showing visually what this means. Because of the presence of Planet X, which is passing the sun and coming toward Earth, the North Pole wishes to continue to rotate. The Northern Hemisphere wishes to continue to rotate in its normal west to east direction. The South Pole is gripped by Planet X, and this is because the Atlantic Rift in the southern region is predominant and can be. Planet X is coming from slightly to the south of the sun. That's its direction as it slings through. So it grips the South Pole or that region and tries to turn it to the left, east to west, and hold it back. Well, this is like opening a jar of pickles. You're torquing that way. And in fact, since last December, the USGS charts have shown you Iris, for instance, dramatically. And Nancy has many copies of this on her website and the Lou Gentile interviews as graphics to support what she's talking about, where the West Coast is literally free of earthquakes while all the rest of the Ring of Fire is going nuts. Why would this be? It always used to be even in the North American continent, seems to have been asleep. Well, this torque effect pulling, you know, toward the east relieves the pressure on the West Coast. Now, that doesn't mean that the North American continent is going to get away with this for long. And in fact, it's putting an additional stress on it because as the New England area is jerked to the right, Mexico is jerked to the left, pulling diagonally on the New Madrid Fault. And this is what's going to cause that fault to rupture. And Nancy has a story to tell you about her Peking duck, which is an earthquake sensitive in that regard. End of Zeta Talk.
Okay, Nancy, before we go back to the Zetas, they just mentioned a story about your Peking duck. What is that story?
Well, I have a Peking duck that has a pretty good track record. When we had a 4.5 earthquake in Chicago, I think this was about a year ago, all my ducks were just frantic for 2 days ahead of time. Nothing seemed to be wrong. I mean, we treat them like pets, you know, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with them. And then we had that earthquake and all that went away. So now, about 5 days ago, one of them, who's the noisiest, was just inconsolable. It sounded like somebody was ripping one of her legs off. You know, it sounded like a scream, you know, and I was able to track this, that when she was doing that, the USGS live seismographs were showing global shuddering. It was remarkable. You know, I would mark the time down and go back a half an hour later, and there it was, that, you know, the black marks. So now, a couple of days ago, she settled down and stopped doing that. But my interpretation of that is that the New Madrid Fault, which drives up all the way into Illinois, Chicago area, is under distress. In fact, the Chinese use their Peking ducks as earthquake predictors. That's a fact.
Interesting. I do know that my hometown of St. Louis, a lot of people there are starting to get concerned as well, because years ago when they built those buildings, they did not build them to be earthquake proof.
That's right. The whole East Coast is like that, and it's really a problem. The West Coast, in fact, is always kind of braced, even though they don't do 100% job. You know, when they have vertical quakes, I think there was a Parkview quake a few years back, and it was a vertical lift, and they said, oh, well, everything fell down because we didn't think that vertical up and down would happen. We just thought side to side. And it's a problem. I really wish that my Zetas were able to tell people that an earthquake was going to happen, what Richter, what region, approximate time frame. They're not. They're under rules. They have to. We're a schoolhouse to learn how to help each other. There's a non-interference rule. There's just certain areas where they can come in and give information. The reason that I'm giving you this information is that I'm a contactee asking them for this and relaying what they tell me. If it weren't for that, you wouldn't have Zeta Talk if I weren't here. So there's rules in place, and they're not allowed, even through me, to warn of earthquakes. Scallion gets away with it because he's a contactee who has a leaky brain, and when he stands around talking to aliens on his visitations, he senses what they know and passes it along. But I'm not getting that from Zetas. So, yes, it's terribly scary, terribly scary.
Zetas, let me ask you a question about oil. There are many on this planet, way more than me, for example, who believe that oil was formed billions of years ago with plants and animals, fossil fuels. I have always believed, don't ask me why, that this planet has oil in abundance and it's natural. It was part of the formation of the planet. Who's right?
You are. And here's the Zetas. We have stated early in Zeta Talk that the oil on Earth is not from moldering coal, you know, coal fields or moldering vegetation or dead animals, but in fact is dropped on the Earth from the periodic passages of Planet X. The reason for this is that its tail contains all manner of hydrocarbons collected when it used to pass through the asteroid belt, and which had many little water planets that were bashed to pieces, mm-hmm. and thus the formation of comets, which have so much water in them, outgassing with water vapor and the like. And it collected a lot of stuff because it's a huge planet, it's a big magnet, and the oxidized iron dust that forms its monstrous tail and shrouds it is attracted to the magnet and hauls along with it. And water is no exception. It carries electricity, for instance, and thus is attracted to electromagnetic factors. So here comes the tail, wafting the Earth, and with all those that water products, among others, going over all these exploding volcanoes, which are super hot. And this forms hydrocarbons that, in legend, will drop on the Earth like a blanket of fire. We have said from the beginning of Zeta Talk to warn people that the best way to survive the pole shift, don't be in buildings, dig a trench a couple feet deep, not all that wide, pull over either boards covered with sod or a piece of metal well tacked down and crawl into that trench. Of course, you want to make sure that you're not in a low-lying area that will be water washed, and wait it out that hour of the shift, because there are reports of dropping walls of fire burning people up when the populace lived near volcanoes. So if it doesn't catch fire and doesn't burn up, because perhaps there might be a lack of oxygen in the atmosphere in that area, or for whatever reason, it drops to the ground, and if there's cracking in the ground, will drain down. Iraq and Saudi Arabia in that area, in fact, is oil-rich because of this. If you look at the plate structure in that area, the Arabian Peninsula is an Arabian plate, and as Africa torques in the diagram that we have on your coast-to-coast webpage that Nancy has done, as Africa torques along with the Earth torque, moving its top to the east and its bottom to the west, it's turning such that it's forcing that Arabian Peninsula to turn in Iraq, ripping the ground open. And thus, when this oil fell, it drained down into the ground, and thus we have the oil pools. And this is the end of Zeta Talk for now, George.
We'll be back in a moment with Nancy Leader. We'll be back with the Zetas. They are astute. They're aware of the coasttocoastam.com website. We'll talk about Atlantis and a number of other issues later tonight. It'll be your turn to talk with either Nancy Leader or the Zetas. And what do they look like? That I have to find out when we come back.